Welcome back to Life Saving Ministries. This is Dr. John Paul, along with Minister Linda, who will be continuing with a study in the Word of God. Today's gospel program is being sponsored by Jim Mazda. We're very pleased to highlight Chris Koromvakis, sales manager, as a golden gem in the automotive car sales industry. They are conveniently located at 1465 Capital Circle Northwest, Tallahassee, Florida, 32303. Their website is www.jimmazda.com or phone 850-576-7138. That's 576-7138. They make you feel like a precious gem from the time you enter their establishment until you leave as a satisfied customer. They are a gem of a company with a gem of high-performance products for a gem of a price. Mazda leads the pack with number one products for sales nationwide. Consumer Reports ranks Mazda number one in their car brand reliability rating. They have a great teamwork and a great work ethics. They exhibit courtesy, hospitality, and respectability. They have trained sales personnel. No gimmicks, no high-pressure sales, just truth in action. They have quality expert technicians. Their number one priority is customer satisfaction along with quality expert service. They deal with many highly rated financial institutions to make it possible for you to drive home with the vehicle of your dreams, whether new or used. You will leave feeling like a golden gem. Don't wait too late. Don't hesitate. They have 0.9% interest on all new 2021 vehicles for 60 or 63 months. People come to Jim Mazda for the very best deals in this region. Stop by Jim Mazda today. You'll be glad you did. We can attest to that. I would like to key in on a very special topic this week, on fire for God. Have you ever thought about being on fire for the God? Or have you ever wondered, is anybody on fire for God these days? You know, if you've ever gone camping, and I really mean camping, not just staying in your backyard, you'll know how important fire is, most especially in the evening hours. The first camping experience I ever had, I learned within a few hours into the evening just how important fire was to campers. We cook our food with it, keep warm with it, and use it to provide light at night. If you're a camper in the middle of the woods, the last thing you want to have happen in the evening is for that fire to go out. In one way or another, we believers are like campers in that dark, in the need of the light, and the warmth of the heart steadily on fire for God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 7 says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in your thought, the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control." For what reason is that? In this scripture, the Apostle Paul speaks to the young Timothy with regards to guarding the deposit of the message of Christ. If we want to sustain the hope made available through Christ, we need to keep that fire burning in us. You know, there are four keys to keeping that fire for God burning passionately throughout the darkness that we walk through in our lifetime. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, we're walking through some pretty dark times right now, and we need God more than ever. We need to shine our light out into the darkness and let it be seen on a daily basis. We need to let that fire glow in us so that others see Jesus in us as we walk about in our daily lives. I'm going to briefly touch on these four basics, and then I want to turn to some music that I think will really highlight what we're trying to say today. Let's stick to basics. No matter how much of a veteran you may think you are in the area of faith, no one ever outgrows the basics of God's Word and prayer. Psalms 119:105 tells us, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Through the seasons of life, Communication with God is of very vital importance to keep that passion in you, in Him, burning. The primary way we communicate with God is through prayer, and He also primarily speaks to us through His living Word, that is, the Word of God in the Scripture. Let's also look at the second item, which is remaining in fellowship. You know, a burning coal, when removed from a pile of red-hot coals, loses its fire when it sits alone, doesn't it? Christians also experience the same thing. That's why church community and fellowship are vital to our everyday walk. When we stay within the accountability, encouragement, and discipleship that come through fellowship, we remain on fire for God. The third area is remember the joy of your salvation. When David felt his fire for God dying, which led to his immorality with Bathsheba, he cried out to God, saying, "Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit." That comes out of Psalms 51, 11 through 12, and there's been emphasis added. Do you remember the first time you received Jesus into your life? With the exuberant joy that came right after that? The joy that we're talking about is not to be meant for just one time only. Matter of fact, we should walk in it as often as we can. Now, let's go back to your first love. And this is one of my favorite scriptures in Revelations chapter 2, verse 4, which speaks of the first love that has been abandoned so many times. Our first love is and will always be Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our Master. What keeps us focused on Christ as our first love is the great reminder that He was He who loved us first, and our love for Him now comes simply as a response to the greatest love we ever knew. Now, if you would pause with me a minute, I'd like for you to listen to this very special music that's been chosen, sung by Mitchell John, "Jesus Gave Me Water."
Oh, Jesus,
He gave me water,
gave me water,
gave me water.
Jesus gave me water,
gave me water,
gave me water.
Jesus gave me water,
gave me water.
I wanna let His praises sway.
He gave me water.
Jesus gave me water,
gave me water.
Jesus gave me water,
gave me water.
Jesus gave me water,
He gave me water, and it was not in the well.
Well, there was a woman from Samaria came to the well to get some water. There she met a stranger who did her story tell. That a woman dropped her pitcher, her drinking was made richer from the water He gave her.
And it was not in the well. Whoa.
Yes, Jesus
He gave me water.
Oh, Jesus
He gave me water.
He gave me water.
Jesus
He gave me water.
Gave water.
I wanna let His praises
swell. He gave me water.
Yes, Jesus gave her water.
He gave me water.
He gave that woman water.
He gave me water.
Gave living, loving, lasting water.
He gave me water, and it was not in the well.
Well, on that woman He had pity. She ran back to the city, crying, "Glory, hallelujah, and did His wonders tell." She left my Savior singing. She came back to Him bringing. The time she got a water, Lord,
and it was not in the well.
Whoa. Yeah. Yes, gave her water.
He gave water.
Yes, Jesus
he gave
her
water.
Water.
He gave me water.
Jesus
he gave,
gave
her water.
Water.
He water.
I wanna let
he
His praises
water.
Swell.
He gave me water.
Jesus
he
gave
water.
That woman
he
water.
Water.
Gave her that
water.
Loving, lasting
he
water.
Water.
Whoa.
He gave me water. He gave me water, and it was not in the well.
Well, that woman left a shouting. There was no room for doubting that she had met a Savior who did her wonders tell. Every time she would doubt Him, she'd start to think about Him, the man that gave her that water.
Lord, it was not in the well.
Yes, Jesus
he gave
her
water.
Water. Jesus
he gave
her
water.
Gave
me water.
Jesus
he
gave her
water.
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 I want to let
he
His praises swell.
He gave me water.
Jesus
he
gave
water.
That woman
gave
water.
Water.
Gave her that loving, lasting water.
Water,
water, water,
water,
water, water, loving
he gave
water.
Water. And it was not in the well.
Doesn't that tell the story right? Jesus is the one that gives us water. He's the one that ignites in us the fire that we need because of the living water that he can provide. Have you ever had one of those mountaintop experiences like a Christian retreat where you felt your passion reignited for the Lord? During that special experience, did you feel God enveloping you? Your heart was so full of love and joy that you couldn't contain it. You committed yourself that very time to Him, and that you were going to read your Bible every day and serve others in the church. You encountered the Lord and hungered for more. This is what it feels like to have your heart on fire for God. But soon after leaving the retreat, or your church, or whatever time that took place, you go back into your regular daily life and soon forget the flame inside your heart. It's been very easy these days or weeks since you've picked up the Bible because you've gone about doing daily chores and you've gone about your work and just forgotten about opening the Bible and spending true time in worship and fellowship with not only the Lord God, but even with other believers. When we get so busy in our lives, the fire for God starts to dwindle. What takes place? The question we have to ask, are you on fire for God? New Christians are the best because their flames often burn as bright as the sun. Their newfound freedom in Christ literally exudes from everything they do and say. Older, not by age, but by how long they've been a Christian or following Christ, they are Christians often who don't have the same spark. I guess you can relate to it when a couple of first starts dating and how in love they are each with each other and compared to how they are after 40 years of marriage. What happened to the spark? Have you lost your fire for God? If so, what's keeping your heart from rekindling that flame? Maybe it's time for you to reevaluate what's important in your life. We can usually find time for what we think is important in our lives, but we forget about making God the priority in our life. That's priority. It is quite easy to fall into a rut and lose your fire for God if you aren't intentionally about cultivating and developing a relationship with Him. Perhaps this is the season you're in. Satan loves these seasons because it takes our eyes off Jesus. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. But there is hope to find a way out of this slump and set your heart on fire again. Fire is consuming and burns bright and hot. It is used to shape, refine, and purify. When you ask God to set your heart on fire, you're asking Him to consume you inside and out. It is a desire to let your heart come alive with the desires of God. You will be so overwhelmed by the passion and love for God that you won't be able to contain it. You'll have to share it with others. They'll see Jesus in you. You will want more of His character, more of His presence, and more of His Holy Spirit enveloping you. You know, in order to accomplish this process of building that flame, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Our hearts are made alive and on fire for God when that happens. We are meant to passionately pursue Him with all of our hearts, minds, and souls. The Holy Spirit within you will change you from the inside out and set your hearts to feel like it's going to burst open with excitement. Have you ever felt that way? Well, I have and do, because when I passionately place Him in my mind and my heart on a daily basis and go to His Word daily, it just becomes a blaze towards God, especially when I listen to good gospel music. When Christ becomes the center of your life, your heart and soul will be satisfied, and you will never want anything less. Nothing else compares to the love of Christ. How do I keep that faith burning? Well, to keep from becoming a lukewarm Christian, I've always got to ask myself, is Jesus the priority in my life? That step one we mentioned earlier is pray daily. To keep your faith burning brightly, you have to start with basics, and prayer is the basics. It's Kneology 101. Get on that knee and pray. Regular communication with Him will keep that passion for Him burning, which God is seeking communication and fellowship with us. We must respond to His Word. Only God can open up the human heart to know Him. If we are on fire for God, we will develop the intimate relationship He desires with us. Being in continual presence will stir up that fire in your heart. It takes full surrender and mind to God. Now ask God to show you how you can seek Him in all that you do. And ask Him to fill your heart with that desire of hunger to know Him more. God is a consuming fire, so let your heart be set ablaze by being in prayer with Him. Number two, meditate on God's Word. Meditate means to meditate in and on the Word. In order to keep your heart on fire, we must meditate in and on that Word. That means opening that Bible daily, reading it, studying it, and letting Him speak to us in Him through His living Word. It's there you'll discover more about who He is and what He is and about His love and grace for His children. You have to meditate on it. You have to think on it. You have to desire to want it. Get to know Him better so you can learn more about Him. He wants to know more about you because He wants to be a companion with you. He's working in your current circumstances. To better know Him is to love Him. And to love Him more, you must learn about Him in the Bible. In Luke 24:32, one of my favorite scriptures, where Cleopas and one of the other disciples were on the road to Emmaus, and suddenly someone came up behind them and started talking to them. If you remember that scripture, as they talked, he asked about the events that had been going on, why they were so sad. And they said, "Don't you know what's been going on?" And they continued to explain what they'd witnessed for the last 3 days. That, of course, was the crucifixion, death, and burial of Jesus Christ. Little did they know, the resurrected Christ was right there walking with them. And as he explained more about who he was from the scriptures, it says, "Didn't these hearts become ablaze when the word of God was opened up unto him?" They didn't waste any time or a minute to tell others about what they had seen and heard about the resurrected Christ. He brought the truth of the gospel to the front and center of their lives. They had heard the word of the Lord and were then able to do the work of the Lord. Are you going to feel that same fire for God? You need to put Jesus in front and center of your life by meditating and reading the word. You need to serve. Whenever you can, serve others, help others, have a joyful feeling for doing something good to help them, and show who Jesus Christ is through your actions, words, and deeds. And then, finally, you want to kindle up the faith of others. And rekindling your faith means putting off your old self and taking up your new identity. You must focus on being Christ-centered, displacing your self-centeredness. That means putting selfish desires and self-centeredness aside. Forgetting the past, moving forward in the new man, forgetting the old man. The old man's gone, he's dead. Now you're the new man in Christ. It's intentionally setting your heart and mind on the things above, not on the things behind and below. Is your heart on fire for God? Are you stable as a Christian, or are you a stale Christian? Have you placed faith and hope in the finished work of Christ? If not, I invite you to reach out so you can share more about how to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, as we close out my first session, before Minister Linda comes, I'd like for you to listen to this special selection of music to end up our teaching. It is from Michael W. Smith, and the title is Angus Dye. God bless you. Hope you have a great and wonderful day ahead and a special On Fire Week for God this coming week. God bless you.